to the club because you're that kind of nerd.
Hello and welcome to the club that is that kind of nerd, a show where we talk about the nerdy things that we're passionate about and then we judge each other on what we bring to the table. I am your host this week because by a fluke I was able to win last week, CJ Mellon, and I am joined by the two superior nerds that join me every single time we do this, Brian Thornton and Joshua Burns.
What up?
My writer's on strike, so I don't know what to say.
that sounds about right. Now that we have a wonderful nerdy podcast, may I say the best nerdy podcast on the earth, this is how we'll do it. We will be sharing some topics that we all bring, and either during the topics or after the topics, I, as your host, will be awarding points. And then the person with the most imaginary points at the end of this episode will be the host for next week. And then it goes on and on and on until one day we shed this mortal coil. It got a little dark at the end, but I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Your writer should go on strike.
They are. I use ChatGPT to write this. Is this not working for us?
Okay. There you go. That's why there's no creativity.
No creativity. Gotcha. No soul to it. Yep. Just open AIs and open APIs. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a topic ready to go if we would like to start with mine, or if someone does feel very passionate about their topic.
We're going to start with yours.
Oh, great.
We're going to start with yours.
If that's the case,
you're the host.
I'm just saying, if you feel passionate about your topic and want to start off the show, it's yours. All right.
The whole point of the show is that we're passionate about things, and I would hope our topic would be one of them. So technically, shouldn't we both be passionate about our topics?
Indubitably. Yes.
Indubitably.
Yes. All right, so obviously, my wife, fed up with the everything of me from time to time, just said, CJ, how many movie quotes do you just say in a day that people just don't know are movie quotes? Like, is this all you do? Is this all you speak is movie quotes? And then I kind of looked back at what I do. I'm like, yeah, a lot of what I say is just movie or TV shows that no one picks up on. And Josh has shared many a time where he is in a meeting or just having conversations with people and you throw out that obscure quote, right? You throw up that thing and someone picks it up and your eyes meet and you're like, oh, you know, oh, we're friends now. We've got this. We've just locked into a moment. So I figured we would share some of these quotes that we live by, right? TV shows, movie quotes that you use a lot that most people don't catch, right? And then I figured we would say them and then try to see if we know where the quote is from. So I've got mine ready, so I'll go first, and then I can start awarding points to what you guys bring. The first one, though, Josh, you already know, right? So I don't think we have to worry about this. But Brian, I'm just curious if you can place it, which is sometimes when Jenny and I will just kind of look at each other when we don't really know what we want to say about something. What do you want for dinner? I don't know. What do you want for dinner? I don't know. If we just hear I don't know too much, we just say, crime. Boy, I don't know.
Well, I'm pretty sure I saw a text message with a t-shirt that said that in a chat that said West Wing and stuff. So I'm going to guess that's from West Wing.
It is from West Wing, Governor Ritchie. And it was at that moment, by the way,
watched the whole show,
that I decided to kick your ass. All right. The next one is, and I say this one a lot, especially when I forget about something and then someone reminds me about it. I say, I keep forgetting about the goddamn tiger.
Isn't that from Hangover?
It is! It is from Hangover!
Yes.
Very good, very good. This one should be easy to pick up on. Anytime I'm going on about a list of things, I just go, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, I thought this one would be close to a gimme.
You say it wrong like that on purpose, or?
Yes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, no, the wrongness is a part of the quote. I just can't place the quote.
It's from the Keenan Eye. The king always says, et cetera, et cetera.
That's why I can't place it.
Why? Listen, I've seen The King and I. It's been years, but I'm not looking up quotable quotes from The King and I.
I have not seen. I don't think I've seen The King and I.
Okay. Well, I mean, that would try. It was one of the first plays I was ever in, and the king says it a lot. So it's just one of those things that just kind of like whoop and just stayed in the brain. And it's not going anywhere. And I'm sure it's pushed out a precious memory or trying to remember mathematics in some way. And it's kicked that out. All right. This one, I'm pretty sure Brian's going to know. So I'm going to go to Josh on this one. Anytime someone's trying to make plans with me and we're just, again, inconclusive and I just don't know, I'm free on the 7th at 7.
No, I know it. I know it. And I can't place it.
I'm free on the 7th at 7.
Oh, it's Bruce Almighty.
There it is. Bruce Almighty.
Yeah, you had to shout it for
I
me.
Do.
To
I do. That's what I figured.
Right? Once you shout him, I know.
He's leaving. Right. Okay, well, I think we all know this one, right? Knowing the way that we watch the show. You know I do what I do when I do what I do.
When I do what I do.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's one of mine, too.
Yep. I love it. I use it all the time. Scrubs.
Yep. This one is a staple when it's just someone's trying to drag me into an argument, right? I don't want to be in the argument. I'm just doing my thing. I just go, I'm just eating my pancakes. And I doubt you guys get this one. Josh, I think you're a little bit too old. And Brian, I just don't think this was your show.
Probably not.
I'm just eating my pancakes. It was said from a TV dad trying to get dragged into a fight also. Nope. Lizzie McGuire.
Okay.
Lizzie McGuire.
I was too old for that show as well.
You're not that much older than me.
I'm at least, what, 2 years older than you?
I think so.
Okay, right. Yeah. I was like 13 when Lizzie McGuire was on. I was not watching Disney Channel.
All right, this one, when I'm leaving, right, it's time to go. Things are happening, time to log off. Brian, I say this to you when you and I log off a Teams call every once in a while. Okay, I love you, bye-bye!
That's, no, I know what that is. I'm going to let Josh try to guess it, though.
It's nope. From an animated...
It's Mindy. Mindy from Animaniacs.
From Animaniacs. Okay, I love you. Bye bye.
Nope. I wouldn't have had it. Not ever.
The funny thing is, a lot of your quotes overlap with mine because I'll do a lot of what you doing?
What you doing?
Why?
No.
Why? Okay, I love you. Bye bye. I like that. Those are the best parts of the Mindy episodes, right? Where he goes like it always sticks out of my head. She's like going up to construction workers. She's like, "What you doing?" And they're like eating lunch, and she's like. Why? Because it's lunchtime. Why? Because we have to take a break from work. Okay, I love you. Bye-bye. Just keeps going.
And you just keep going on it.
The Mindy and Button segments in Animaniacs, besides the Warner Brothers themselves, are probably some of the best segments in that show.
Yep. I definitely agree. And then anytime someone says the word shenanigans... Can you figure out what quote I thought?
Super Troopers.
Right.
Quote is one more person says shenanigans, I'm going to pistol whip them.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy.
Hey, Farva.
And then that's what I say. I replace the name, right, with whomever's around me. Hey, Josh, what's that, name of the restaurant you like with all the goofy shit in the walls and the mozzarella sticks?
The walls.
You mean shenanigans?
You guys talking about shenanigans?
Just that whole bit. To the point, like, it's a long bit, right, for someone just saying, all right, no shenanigans today. I'm like, Hey, what's a place you like with the goofy crap on the wall and the mozzarella sticks? Shenanigans? You mean shenanigans? It was like, that's too long of a payoff, man. That's not funny. I'm like, I know, but my brain cannot let that phrase go without that quote going. So that is your amuse-bouche to this stuff. Obviously, there are more that I probably say, but the ones that are in heavy rotation, Crime Boy, I don't know, gets used a whole lot around the Mellon household. A whole lot in the Mellon household. So now I'll turn it over to you, Brian. Since you said we overlap a lot, I'll save you for last, and I'll go to Josh first.
We do overlap a lot. No, here's the thing: I need to at least say one of them before I forget it, because I know I'm going to forget it.
Gotcha.
And it actually goes in between your one quote and the second quote, which I think is funny. I haven't gotten to use it very often recently, but I used to use it quite frequently, and it's usually used if something's in the wrong place. I don't care where it is. It's just like, why is this shoe here? You know?
Okay, I know where you're
why
going.
Is the shoe in the dryer?
Right.
It always goes to, you mean, why is the silverware in the pancake drawer?
Right.
What's up? Like,
what's up? You have to do it like that.
He does.
Oh, I do. CJ's. And that's, of course, another Turk quote from Scrubs. I stole one from you, CJ, that I use at work way too often. And the quote is always when we're discussing, oh, is something fair or is something by the rules? And I say, listen, there are two things that are not in the rule book. The first one is nothing in the rule says a dog can't play basketball. And the second one is, and then I go into the explanation, right? And no one ever gets it. Like, they know they get it.
Right.
They know it's from a movie. They like it's one of those things that, like, especially since I'm usually talking to people who work for me, they always like, placate him. But they don't know what it's from.
No, they don't.
We all know it's from Air Bud, but they don't know. and here's the thing. And I'll add to your concept, and then I'll let Josh go with some more because hopefully he'll jog my memory of a couple more than I do. But I have not done this a lot. I used to get accused of, Brian, I'm pretty sure you speak solely in movie quotes, just like you. And like you just string articles in between, right?
Yeah.
And I still do that to a degree. But in the world that we live in now, where most of my communication is via text, I do it through GIFs.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yes. You know, like normally where I would be like the, I don't believe you, which is the Ron Burgundy quote. Now I just send the GIF, right?
You have to.
Yeah.
You know, right? Yep. Like,
and listen, that particular thing, I mean, everybody knows that nobody ever said it. I've been saying that shit. I'd be working at the desk and there we'd all be working together. There'd be a bunch of people around and somebody would say something and go, Josh, blah, blah, blah. And I go, I don't believe you.
Yeah.
And that'd be the end of it. Everybody gets it.
Yep.
I do sometimes say, and also addition to that, is the Human Torch was denied a bank loan. No reason for it. I just sometimes randomly pop that out and people are like, what are you?
But what is that from?
Like, it's not from anything.
It's an articulation exercise. Right.
It's supposed to be.
Right.
Right. But it's not even you were in theater. It's not a normal articulation exercise.
No.
It's just something stupid that Will Ferrell thought up on the day.
That's
why it's so funny.
Right, okay.
But like every time I hear it, I always picture the Human Torch trying to get a bank loan. And like,
oh, your brain goes full imagination on it.
Oh, I go full on. It's never like Johnny Storm walks in his suit and tie.
Right.
It's always him on fire
walking
into the bank. But yeah, those are a couple that I like to do the Life Finds a Way. With the resurgence of the Jurassic World movies, though, that people usually catch on to that.
Right.
You know, we used to quote it all the time. You know, we used to do the legend, wait for it, dairy, a lot. And I don't see that in rotation as much, probably because we're not all watching that show as much.
Right.
But also, like, I don't think anybody... I think it's still a good show, despite... I'm not going to open up the can of worms about the last episode, but I don't think a lot of people remember that show as well as we all thought they would, like when it was on.
I think How I Met Your Mother is still very much in the popular zeitgeist, but everyone just ignores the last episode. We just go, nah.
Yeah. I Don't Want to Be a Pirate. Is one that I break out every once in a while.
You know what? You do break that out every once in a while. I don't want to be a pirate.
But I don't want to be a pirate. And I'll, of course, you know, not that there's anything wrong with that whenever you're talking about anything sketchy, right? You just
right.
But the key to that quote is the hand motion.
Right.
You've got to do the crossing in front of your face and then spreading your arms apart. Like, not that there's anything wrong with that. That's the key to that quote. Trying to think of anything more.
Josh, I know this happens to you pretty regularly where you throw out something obscure and you'll have that moment where your eyes will catch with another person and then you start hearing the gin blossoms play and you're reminded of the girl coming down the stairs. So what do you have?
Oh my God, I have a lot. I have a lot captured here that I say regularly. And there's a couple. I can speak in GIFs, solely in GIFs, or movie quotes or show quotes or whatever, just, you know, like everybody. But, like, it's I now have two children who are getting to – Christian especially to this, to my level. And there's a lot of back and forth, which is great. So I'm going to – you know, some – I certainly think like with you guys, there's some overlap. I don't think you can be friends with people for as long as we are and talk to people as often as we do and not have overlap. So maybe my most frequently used one that is an easy standout is nobody cares, Sean.
That's true.
I do that too.
That's very true.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. I do it to Christian all the time. Nobody cares, Sean. Nobody cares.
I swear to God, if I did that in a conversation and someone did pick up on that, I'd be like, oh, you're coming over for dinner tonight. It's happening.
That's right. Yeah, and you know, there are things that I will do at work. I'll get to some of those. Stand there in your wrongness and be wrong. Mm. I use that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Very few people
I've been
get
on the
that.
Receiving end of that multiple times.
Yep. Yes, you stand there in your wrongness and be wrong and get used to it. you can be and are wrong.
You know what can that's from. Be and are wrong.
Yep. Yeah, you can be and are wrong.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, the guy goes, I could be wrong. You can be and are wrong.
It's not old school.
No, it's a similar. It's similar though.
Is Jack that Black?
It's being said to Jack Black.
Jack Black?
Right. It's being said to Jack Black.
Hmm.
Is it School of Rock?
No. It's Son of a Biscuit. Is it Saving Silverman? No, High Fidelity.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Champagne for my real friends and real pain for my sham friends.
Oh, that I don't know.
I've heard this before, though.
That is the 25th hour.
Oh, Ed Norton?
Ed Norton. It's a toast.
Gotcha.
This one I say a lot, only in friendly company when they're... You are the ones who are the ball lickers.
You are the ones who are the ball lickers?
Yes, you are the ones who are the ball lickers.
I
listen.
See, I've heard it.
I've definitely heard it.
I don't know if I've just heard it from you.
And that's what I said. I think I've heard it from you primarily and not the primary source.
I'm almost positive. Wait, no.
It's part of a bigger rant.
It's part of
who are the ball. Oh, wait. This is James. This is Kevin
James
Smith.
And Bob, yeah. Strike Back.
Yes. That's right. Right. Okay. I knew it was okay, coming to me. I could see it.
The Kevin Smith quote I will use at work. Anytime someone quotes a large number, okay. Right? I'll go in a row.
I am known to say I'm not even supposed to be here today, by the way.
Yeah, all right. So you get the movie. But so it's 37
in a row?
if they give a large number, I'll go in a row.
Oh, going off of the
hold on.
Going on
what
top
happens
of the
in
thing.
That moment if somebody caught on? What
if somebody if somebody catches on, yeah. They generally turn they have to turn their camera off at that point.
Going on top of that, I see no one knows this, so I do know nobody knows this, but sometimes when things are just very like weird and off-putting or like things are not going the way they should, I'll say, who's driving car? Oh no, Bear's driving car. How can that be? And that's from an episode of the Clerks cartoon that only lasted 6 episodes and only 2 of them aired, so no one has seen it, but I have the DVD with all 6 episodes and it's episode 4. And it's amazing. And I'm so upset that show never got picked up. But
do you have my Clerks DVDs or do you have your own?
No, I have my own.
Okay.
Are you missing your Clerks DVDs?
Are you missing your
no,
Clerks
Laura,
DVDs?
No, Laura gave away my, like,
because
we don't have a DVD player. Right, so at one point when Laura was decluttering, she gave away all my DVDs.
I actually, I do know I have your Halloween, your copy of Halloween.
I'm boy, I don't know.
When most of the time at work, right, somebody's like, yeah, but oh, you guys, you do this or you can do that? I go, yeah, we have uniforms and everything. It's really great.
It's not from Stripes.
Nope.
Oh, we have uniforms and everything. It's really great. Oh, Major League?
Major League, yeah. I didn't know they still had a team in Cleveland. Yeah, we have uniforms and everything. It's really great.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. That's good.
God forbid anyone ever join a call, a meeting, whose name is Wayne. I go, Wayne!
Is that Friday, Adam?
Huh?
Is that Friday? What's that?
No, it's Letterkenny.
Oh, okay. Oh, God. And then...
Yeah, and then the To Be Fair.
To Be Fair.
That happens That happens at least once a week.
That was something we could not escape. I literally had to change my vocabulary to remove the phrase, to be fair, out of it. To avoid the
You missed a quote that you said so much, we banned you from saying it ever again.
Oh, the quote? I don't.
And I always thought that dogs
That's right. Oh, my God.
And now I learned something. You used to say that so freaking much.
I was just like,
you're done.
You've
reached the quota. I'd never want to hear that fucking quote again.
And you know what? Haven't heard it in years.
You've been very good.
Haven't heard
it in years. You also say, I can always pick out you. I can never pick out me. You also always say way too goddamn often whenever, like, you pop into a meeting late or you come back from a hold, and it's always like, and then I said, now you put the crackers
in
your mouth.
That's right. Next to That's right. But see, that's a thing that you don't know where it came from. You just know that I say it all the time and that it's not mine.
Family Guy.
No.
Family Guy or the other thing?
Not family. Oh, not the Family Guy is dogs.
The dogs eat eggs.
The dogs
in the mouth, I thought was Scrubs.
No. So I said to her, next time you put the crackers in your mouth. This is the worst part, is I don't remember the comedian that said it.
Look, I have, all right, so I have a few more. I very often say, in an order that would surprise you.
Yep.
Which is college humor what's it?
Make you do it.
What's that called, Brian?
Dropout TV, is it?
No, but it was before Dropout. I think it was College Humor.
Then it would have been College Humor. Or Funny or Die, which was
Funny or Die. That's what it was. Funny or Die. I will sing wrong.
You're wrong.
Right. Right.
Mr. Dr. Cox.
There are two things I hate in this world. Intolerance and intolerance of other people's cultures and the Dutch.
And the Dutch. Yes, I know that. And Brian's got to look. Do you know what that's from?
You know what? It sounds familiar. I'm still trying to look up your cracker quote.
I put it into Google in quotes. So like only give me the exact thing of. So I said to her, next time you put the crackers in your mouth, and nothing showed up. So I don't know what Comedy Central presents it came from. But there are two things in this world I can't tolerate. Intolerance of other people's cultures and the Dutch.
Isn't that Michael Caine?
Yeah.
It is Michael Caine.
Austin Powers, Goldmember.
Yay! All right.
Yeah. Another easy-to-use Michael Caine quote, especially at work, is, I failed you. You trusted me, and I failed you.
Yeah, that's Dark Knight Rises.
Dark Knight Rises. I don't like, weep. I just say it that way.
Oh, let's not forget all the Bane quotes that I throw out on a regular basis.
Right. So I just, that's...
Talk about a blast from the past. When was the last time that happened?
Christian all the time. Like if I'm like, you know, I'm like, I don't know why you're trying to teach me something that I've been doing for 20 years. He goes, you merely adopted the dog. I was born in it.
I like to throw out, especially in cell phone discussions, time to go mobile.
Yep.
That's always, but then the other thing that I like to, more people know that quote, right?
Talking about using GIFs in a conversation, Brian threw that out one time in a conversation at work and got like the best reaction from it.
I got several people saying, I'm going to steal that. I was like, great. And then that leads me to another quote and another GIF that I like to use, which is usually, I'm gonna steal that. That's mine now. Which is Jam from Parks and Rec.
That's right.
Jam.
But the other Bane quote I like to use that most people don't pick up on is, and do you feel in control? Like,
yeah, the last one that I use, and it's always, you can't use the whole thing in conversation, but you can use the whole thing in a group chat or a Google chat, like at work or whatever. When anytime anyone is this person said X, Burns, you were there. And I say, on the contrary, I'm possibly more or less not definitely rejecting the idea that in no way with any amount of certainty that I undeniably do or do not know where he shouldn't probably be. If that indeed wasn't where he isn't, even if he wasn't at where I knew he was, that'd mean I'd really have to know where he wasn't. And usually that gets me out of the conversation.
Quoting because, Pinocchio and from Shrek 2.
I have it. Yeah, the quote from Shrek 2. I have it saved as a keyboard shortcut so that I can
just click, send, nope the hell out of there.
Yep.
What's the keyboard shortcut?
It's SHRK.
Okay.
With a quote. It's a quote in quotes.
In quotes.
SHRK.
SHRK. Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah, because if you type SHR and then it puts that in there and you accidentally hit space, now you're deleting for an hour.
Yeah.
But yeah. So like those are the quotes that I absolutely use all the time. I will also very often say arrivederci.
I don't know where that's from unless we somehow found the same thing, because mine is arrivederci frog.
No, it's arrivederci.
That sounds like it's from your latest obsession of Yellowstone.
No, it's from Inglourious Bastards. It's Brad Pitt as Enzo Gorlami.
Yeah.
Gorlami.
I just realized one I forgot, which is what's with today? Anytime someone says, "What's wrong with this system?"
I was going to say that. I thought for sure Josh was going to say it. That's why I didn't say it. Mm. But yeah,
I was like, "What's wrong with this system? What's wrong with Josh today? What's with today?"
What's with today?
Good. There's a lot of good Empire Records quotes, but that, like, I feel like it's way too obscure for anybody. The only one that I use, I will say, "Damn the man, save the empire."
I was about to say.
I'm like, you know, he's going to join the meeting and spoil the day. And I go, not on Rex Manning Day. nobody ever gets it.
Really?
Nobody ever gets it.
Like, no, that's very specific just, from that movie.
I know.
We just celebrated Rex Manning Day, didn't we?
Did we celebrate that as a nation?
Rex Manning Day is April 8th. Here's the funny thing. No, I was, you both, I don't know if I sent this to you. If I didn't, I'm sorry. There's a place on 2nd Street in Philadelphia that, like, makes a huge to-do about Rex Manning Day. It's April 8th, and...
Yeah, I saw, like, I saw people in the street.
Yeah, like, they're actually celebrating Rex Manning Day. Yes. So, I thought of you guys. I don't know why I didn't send it to you, but next Rex Manning Day, perhaps take a trip to the city.
All right, anything else? Anything else that you can think of, quotes that...
So many, but it doesn't... It's too many.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, these are just the ones I remember. Like,
yeah, run back 300 episodes of the show, you'll find them.
Run back
quite
the show.
Quite frankly, and like you know, most of them, like, they've become so much a part of our, like, everyday speech, we don't even think of it anymore. We just say it.
Just say it.
And don't even, oh yeah, that's from a movie, right?
Right.
Like, so I just...
That's not from a movie, that's something Burns says all the time.
Yeah, Burns says it all the time. Brian says it all the time.
Yes.
Right.
Although, I mean, I can ask my wife to start a list. My wife has a list. When we started dating, she started this list of old-timey phrases that I say. So, like, things that I say that she's like, no one fucking says that anymore. She'll write it down. So I can ask her to start a movie quote list for all of you.
Or could you tell her if you had your druthers, it'd be this way or something like that? Like, what are we talking about?
She would write that down because no one uses the word druthers anymore.
No, you don't.
Can I get an example, like, though, of something that's in, like, the Brian Thornton vernacular that retired in the 1800s? Like, what's
I remember saying to her one time she was upset about something or we were struggling with something. I said, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. And she said, what? And it made her better. So whatever I said worked. She's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, well, here's what that saying means. She's like, it's going in the list. And she, like, grabs their phone. Fisticuffs is in there.
Fisticuffs.
Fisticuffs is great.
What else is in there? I forget. I'll have to ask her for the, she's out right now. I'll have to
shenanigans?
Ask her for the list.
Because the next person says shenanigans is getting pistol whipped in the face.
Shenanigans is not in there. Ne'er-do-wells, I've said, look at those ne'er-do-wells more than one occasion. You know, that's definitely in there.
I do believe that is actually built into your vernacular.
But yeah, you know, she's got a list of the old-timey phrases that I say that, hey, you know what? Y'all make fun of me, but they'll make a comeback. Everything that is old is new again. And, you know, when we're all talking about the ne'er-do-wells down the street again, you remember I've been using that for a while now. Right, well, anywho.
I think we're ready to move on, but I will award some points. First off, five to Brian for not only just having some funny things and some same overlap with me, but I also find it charming that you speak like you're stuck in the 1920s from time to time. So you can have 5 points for there. And then Josh,
well, thank you, good sir.
Josh, you get the same five, but an extra two for making us laugh with most of your quotes in there. So that takes you up to seven.
Why, thank you.
I just want to point out that we'll see how the episode ends, but you know, I just like to point out that Josh just gets arbitrary points all the time, no matter what. Anyway,
you want,
Josh,
no,
you go
Brian,
next. What's your topic?
Brian, you
what's
want
your to topic, Josh?
2 points for pointing out arbitrary points.
Oh, thank you.
I thought, I honestly, I was expecting this to be a 30-minute discussion, which it was. So I didn't, I was like, you know what? I could talk about quotes for a day, a whole day.
I've got something that we can talk about for another 30 minutes.
I also have something in the back pocket if we need it.
So, well, here's the thing. I want to talk about a movie franchise. And as we all know, I like to talk about movies and franchises. I like to speculate. I like to put my producer hat on, pretend I'm Kevin Feige or someone of the like, and speculate about things. So I thought we could do that today because this movie franchise is quite young. The Super Mario Brothers movie has grossed well over $1 billion.
Mm.
And if you don't think they're going to build an MCU out of it, I would say you're crazy because you don't make $1.5 billion and still climbing, even though it's available on streaming right now, and not think how to expand this. So I have not seen the movie yet, full disclosure, but I do know there are plenty of little teases to a larger universe, but not like, oh, Thanos is coming, right? But like little things like, we could do something with that if we want to, if this is successful enough. And it was successful, right?
Good Easter egg at the end.
Right. So, I mean, it's very rare that we as a collective get to be in on the ground floor and talk and speculate about how a universe is going to start. So I thought, hey, let's talk about the Nintendo universe, the NCU, if you will. And talk about kind of what projects we think are going to be next, what projects we want to see the most, how we think this is all going to play out, what is it all leading to? Because I think that'll be fun, and I think we could do that for, you know, a little bit. So, that being said, I mean, I have a list of major Nintendo franchises. If you want, I can pop it in the chat. But, I mean, come on, it's Nintendo. We all know Nintendo, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So here's the question. Here's the big question. Super Mario Brothers, super successful, right? Detective Pikachu was also super successful. Also Nintendo adjacent.
Right.
Are they going to say, okay, we're going to fold Pokemon and Detective Pikachu into this? Are we starting something new? So what are our thoughts? CJ's already shaking his head.
The simple spinoff of this, right? What do you branch to make a spinoff and not the continuation of Super Mario Brothers, right?
You make The Legend of Zelda. You have to.
That's
make
the end game. That literally is.
I don't think that's next. I think that's in the next couple years, but that's not the very next project.
That has to come, but it needs to come. Otherwise, this is for nothing, right? It's all for nothing if we don't get Zelda out of this. Right. But the next one is Donkey Kong. Right. So you make your Super Mario Brothers 2. You put a couple other characters in there that I don't want to spoil it for you if you haven't seen the movie. But Donkey Kong and the way that the Donkey Kong universe is done in that movie, just that is your next bit right there. And we already have Donkey Kong 64 as a source and Donkey Kong Country and all these other games to base off a narrative structure of Donkey Kong that you can easily put
okay,
into
no, this no, 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 no. I'm going to pause next. You there. Have you played Donkey Kong Country? Do you remember the narrative?
Nope, but
to
there
Donkey
is one.
Kong Country?
But there is one. Animals
King,
are in
King
trouble.
K. Rool. Here is Donkey Kong's story. King K. Rool takes all of his bananas, and he wants them back.
Yeah,
that is the story in Donkey Kong Country.
Perfectly fine.
Not one, not two, but three times.
Yeah.
The first Donkey Kong Country, he takes all his bananas. The second one, he kidnaps Donkey Kong and takes all the bananas. And so Diddy has to come out after him. And then the third one is some different villain that Dixie and the other one is fighting.
And yet, Brian, Peach is not in this castle.
Right.
Several times.
Right, but here's... But I get that.
But Donkey Kong's next. The thing because is... Because the way they have the him in the movie is Donkey Kong.
Yeah, oh, they've got Seth Rogen. They might as well use him.
Well, I mean, what about Luigi's Mansion? Because I thought that's a natural progression as well. obviously Luigi's in this movie. He's already seen with the vacuum, right? As something that he uses to defend himself or what have you. So why not throw him in and do a Haunted Mansion with Luigi?
Yeah, but that's not
which, next. By the way, the trailer for the Haunted Mansion looks great.
Well, you're saying, Brian's saying that's next in the Mario.
Right. Series. Like, listen, I'm not saying we need to predict what's going to be the very next movie, right?
I think. But yes.
But 100%. Here's the thing. I think in the next couple months, you're going to see the Nintendo, next to Nintendo Direct is going to be very movie focused. They're going to do the Marvel thing and they're going to say, here's phase one. So what's in your phase one? I think Donkey Kong is definitely in your phase one, right? I think Luigi's Mansion is definitely in your phase one.
Yeah, so Super Mario Brothers 2, right? So that way you can put Yoshi and other things in there. You get your Donkey Kong spinoff, you get your Luigi's Mansion, and then the thing that they need at that point is what will give them the flexibility to start ripping through the Nintendo Mario universe.
I think you
and
do
open up the door for other
you
things.
Do either Star Fox or Metroid.
Oh,
that's your thing to rip open.
Star Fox and Metroid. Yeah, but here's I don't see like the Super Mario and Donkey Kong. Together, that makes sense, right? Because Mario, you're in the early Donkey Kong games, you are Mario, and you are navigating the ladders and whatnot. But Link doesn't, in my opinion, doesn't belong in that universe. Star Fox and Metroid can go in the same place, and they don't belong with Mario or with Link,
right?
Mm. And so, like, I don't think this needs to be an altogether type of thing. I think
until Super Smash Bros. Was just Mortal Kombat of
right
Mortal well, Kombat.
Well, yeah, but that's you. The, but you again, laugh. But I think that's what we're leading to, right?
And that maybe, but like I don't. So. I personally think you can get way deeper. The Legend of Zelda story, Star Fox, Metroid. These are great stories.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And you can get. You can go pretty.
You can get plenty out of both of the. But here's the thing, and from what I understand, there's reference in the movie of there are other worlds out there, right?
Yes.
And you could take that one of two ways, right? Like, I'm going to get really ultra nerdy on Mario. You can take that as, hey, Super Mario Galaxy. There's Rosalina. Sure. There's other worlds out there, right? And the theory is, you know, that Peach is actually not from Mushroom Kingdom, but she is from space, right? You could take it that way, or you could take it as there's a multiverse out there. There is a world where Zelda, there is a world where Star Fox, there is a world where Metroid. And I think you go that route, it's very easy to just have a Zelda movie and a standalone Zelda movie or TV series or however you want to do that. And then you eventually say, because the whole concept behind Super Smash Brothers, right, is that some outer-worldly being in the first... they're toys, but the idea is that Master Hand, in the first game, it's Master Hand, right? Is, like, ripped open the fabric of reality and put all of these toys together to fight in this tournament for his amusement. It's a hand. I don't know what moniker you... For their amusement, right? And then in other subsequent Smash Brothers games, there's always some sort of alien creature that like just kind of combines all the universes together. And so like you can very easily do that in a movie setting, right? Like you need to put a little meat on the bones. Like the hand is, unless you want to get real meta, the hand is not going to be a hand, right? But I think it's very simple for us to just do, this is the best way to just do the Marvel formula, which is like, hey, let's do these single standalone movies. Let's see which ones work. Let's see which ones don't. And then, hey, we're going to lead up to this tournament. Whatever.
I never want to see Chris Pratt's Mario and any Zelda character in a regular story unless it's supposed to be Goofy of Super Smash Bros. That's it. Like, those two things shall be separate, and separate shall they be, right? They are.
Right.
I don't need a hugely connected universe from Nintendo. The only reason that Mario and all that is connected is because they're all in the same little story. They're all in their own little bubble. And that's it.
But that's my point, right? You don't need to, like, you know, so like with Marvel, right? We know that Captain America is doing his thing, but somewhere out there, Iron Man's also doing his thing. And maybe they cross over, a la Civil War, right? you don't need that in Mario, right?
Right.
And that's why I'm saying, like, from, like, a separate universe, like, Nintendo can do the multiverse, and they could do it right. As much as I love Marvel, I think that the multiverse stuff is a little bit rushed. But they could do it. They could do it right. And you could have them meet, and then you could have them separate. And you could have them meet again however many times you want them to do it. But, like, and I think you're saying that from this aspect of Zelda's the super serious franchise. Zelda's the Lord of the Rings type of, but Nintendo franchise, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Just like,
no,
I don't want Star Fox and Metroid to ever meet. Let them all be their own separate stories and make the goofy things that are already connected. But
sure.
Please don't put, what I'm asking is, please don't look for a way for them to all come together in a serious thing. Just like when we
just hang out.
When we see Sonic show up in a Mario game, right? I don't need, there's been a rift in reality. No, it's like, oh, this is Mario Golf. And that's it, right? Just, right? Like, just have it be stupid and silly. And don't have to, we don't have to get a reason that those two things are together. It's just, hey, they're here. Right? I don't want a larger connected universe.
So I think your phase one, right, is you got Mario now. You probably have a second one. I think you have Donkey Kong. I think you have Luigi's Mansion. And then I think you can't do much without at least one space. You need one Star Fox. You need one Zelda. And then you maybe bring them all together for the first Smash Bros., right? Which is, what, 8 characters? Like, that makes sense, right?
Why would they get together for Smash
Bros.? Yeah, I don't... the Smash Bros. Thing was a joke.
Here's a game I never played. Never once. I never played it. Never played the game.
I'm not... Listen, the writers are on strike, Josh. I don't know. Well, here's the thing.
I see what you're saying, Brian, but here's my real concern. No. Just make these... Like, Metroid... Just make a Metroid series and make a Metroid movie, and I never want Metroid to show up with Mario, right? Go make Star Fox. I never want Star Fox and Metroid to get together. Never. Nope. Don't even need it, right? I don't even want them at a cantina in space somewhere. Keep this all separate for the fun things, right? Keep it all separate. And just have Mario and Luigi and Donkey Kong and Princess Peach and Yoshi just every once in a while getting a couple scraps together. But I never want to be watching a Donkey Kong movie going, where the fuck is Mario? Wouldn't he be here? Wouldn't he be here? Just like, you know, sometimes you're watching an MCU movie, be like, all right, Thor would show up by now, right? He'd be here, or Captain America, the Avengers, they would be here. Oh, well, here's the reason why they're detained and they can't come. I don't ever want to think about that with Nintendo. Please just keep it fun, stupid, silly, and goofy, right? Like Wreck-It Ralph style shit. I don't want this to be a connected universe.
But that's my point, right? Like,
so don't say phases. Just say this is the movies they're gonna make, and that's it. I just want that.
Right, but like, but listen, we this is the language we speak now when we're talking about whether it's interconnected or not, a universe that is owned by one IP, right?
Right.
Like,
I'm gonna throw something at you if they make a connected universe. I'm gonna throw a heavy object.
What about Punch Out? They're going to make a connected universe, and Punch-Out
doesn't need to be a story. It doesn't need to be a movie or a show.
You wouldn't want to see, like, a take on Rocky with Little Mac?
No.
Just a fun, family-friendly Rocky?
That's the thing is, that's what it's going to be. Like, it's going to be about, yeah, it's going to be Rocky Jr., and I don't care.
I'm fine with that. Because here's the thing. You get Rocky, but then you get the fun characters. You get King Hippo. You get Glass Joe. You get, like, those over-the-top, like, kind of boxers.
No,
that's fun.
But, like,
that's fun.
But for what? Like, you go in there, there's a fight, and then
for entertainment, because that's what all of this is for. It's not...
Listen, there are better...
But then here's the problem. Then it does really well, and what do you do for a second Punch-Out movie?
You do International.
No, right. You see how Punch-Out should just... It's just a thing. Just don't make it.
To be a second one? And listen,
the history of the entertainment industry. That's why.
8 Rocky movies. We can figure out a way to do a second Punch-Out movie. Come on.
No, but you know why we don't need to do a second Punch-Out movie? Because we've done 8 Rocky movies. I'm done. I've got it. We've seen it. We're done. You've done it.
If you want to do, like, build little stories around Nintendo games that have, you know, little other purpose than they're a game, F-Zero would be a good one.
Yeah, Captain Falcon.
Like the Gran Turismo movie. Yes. Like,
oh my God.
Yeah, I'd be fine with a Kid Icarus movie.
Fire Emblem.
Yeah.
Is also another, but that's my point. This is a huge well with a whole bunch of really great IP that you can, you know, build.
Yeah.
Something.
There's
so, I'm not looking for Nintendogs, the movie. I'm not looking for
a franchise
that
got big, at least that I can recall in the last bunch of years, is Splatoon.
And Splatoon is a great one. Yeah.
You could do a really great show.
And again, I never want to see that with Mario.
No, not with. Separate.
We're not talking about the crossover yet, CJ.
There shouldn't be a crossover.
Oh, I know. We all agree there shouldn't be a crossover, with the exception of maybe a Super Smash Brothers.
And that should be a tongue-in-cheek. That should be a tongue-in-cheek one-off, spin-off, Elseworld-esque thing. It should not have. The Mario movie should never have to be leading into Super Smash Bros. Right? It shouldn't be seeing a master hand at the end of a Mario movie. I'm going to throw something at somebody if that happens. It's just a one-time unconnected thing.
Please don't hurt me.
I'm coming for you directly.
When they do that,
you know they're listening to this show, listening to you going, this is perfect.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Take notes. Write it down.
Yeah, Miyamoto is totally listening to our show.
No, we know Warner Brothers is, right? And then Warner Brothers is going to start screwing things over. James Gunn listens to this, and you know he's going to be like, hey, this is a good idea. I'll help you get this made. We don't want him to do that. That up. I'll say this about Nintendo, and then I'll shut up because I've been blabbering a bunch. Having Mario was fun. Seeing DK in there was fun. Seeing the Mario Kart scene was fun. Have you two seen this movie, Josh? Have you seen? I know Brian hasn't. Did you see at least?
No.
So like, part of this is you
is
need.
Is it on Plex yet?
It is on Plex.
Yes.
Part of it is, it is just goofy fun, and it's a shit ton of fan service done right, in the sense of just like, you leave going, this was fun and entertaining. And I know that Nintendo has now has Nintendo Studios, right? They just said, we're making more movies, and they ended this movie with a teaser to say, we'll have something second come out, and that's fine. I want them to just let stories have fun, and I swear to God, if we get through four movies and I don't even smell a Zelda movie coming out, I'm flying to Japan myself, and I'm going to wreak havoc on the city until I get what I want.
Going first off, barring you going Godzilla on Japan, I don't think Zelda will make a good movie, and I know I'm being controversial as that. I think you need to do Zelda as a TV show.
I agree.
I think there's too much. There's too much going on in that series in any one game for you to crunch it down to a 2.5-hour, 2-hour movie.
Except not. Except there's only, like, really, there's a lot of lore, and there's a lot of, you know, like, NPCs milling around, right?
Right.
But it's just Link and Zelda and Ganon.
Right.
And
but like
nobody else matters.
But on any given, and I'm going to pitch you my idea, and if Nintendo is listening, I expect a check. But so on any given Zelda, you have multiple dungeons,
yes,
multiple things that you have to acquire to get the job done, right? Whether you are saving Zelda or defeating Ganon using the Triforce, or if you're going back and forth between worlds and a link between worlds, there's always that motif, right?
Right.
So I have this pitch. So I don't know how familiar you guys are with the actually confirmed and established lore that is Zelda now, which was Skyward Sword is the first game in the series. They're now 18 games in, 19 with Tears of the Kingdom, I think.
Let me ask you a question. Are you about to spoil Tears of the Kingdom for me right now?
No, I'm not.
Okay, good. Thank you.
I'm about to spoil Skyward Sword for you.
Already did it.
Skyward Sword is the first series, and in there, they pretty much established that a majority of the characters, but most notably Zelda, Link, Ganon, are in this cycle, right? They are constantly fighting each other, living their lives, dying, being reborn, fighting each other, dying, being reborn, right? Like, every time that the evil demise via Ganon or Ganondorf comes back, Zelda and Link are reincarnated, and thus the story continues.
The cycle
continues. Which is why you have, right, which is why you have these very, what seem like siloed games, but they are kind of connected. They're all living these different lives over and over and over again. Which is also why you don't very, very much see sequels to Zelda games, with the exception of Majora's Mask, Phantom Hourglass, and Tears of the Kingdom now. Most of them are pretty much like one and done, right? So my idea is you do a television show, you do however many episodes a season, I don't care. Whatever gets the story done.
Right.
You can do one season per game, but if it's like a particularly bloated game, like, for example, Breath of the Wild or your Ocarina of Times, maybe you do two seasons for that one. But every season, you have a different actor play Link. Doesn't matter who it is, I don't care. You have a different person play Link, Zelda, Ganondorf. And this way, kind of like the way Altered Carbon was supposed to go, you get fresh blood, fresh takes on the character, different styles of the storytelling, right? You also don't have to rope people into multi-year contracts. You do one season, if it's a two-season arc, okay, we sign this person on for two seasons. But here's the big thing. And here's what I think is going to be the biggest hurdle for any Zelda project. If they decide to make him talk, it's going to be difficult. And that's just because Link. Link doesn't talk. Link interacts with people. Link seems to talk, right? But it's the same problem with the Mario movies, that he is an avatar for you. So they purposely don't give him a voice, right? So my pitch is that, and this is going to be out there, in every single one of these games, there's always some sort of partner, whether it be Navi, whether it be Fi. There's very few games where he doesn't have somebody traveling with him. So in those instances, we can create somebody. But my pitch is Link is deaf, and so he doesn't talk, or he's mute, or what have you, right? But you have that other person kind of be the translator for him, or you can make it a big joke of every time he's about to speak, Navi interrupts him. You make a big joke about it too, if you want to be more family friendly oriented. But that's my pitch, is that you hire an actor, but you don't have him speak throughout the entire thing, and you have someone else do the speaking for the character. I think it's a decent, and it's definitely something I would flesh out.
I take it one step further. I've been watching a lot of Love, Death, and Robots on Netflix. I don't know if you guys watch it. Highly recommend. I would love to just see it CGI generated and animated in that kind of style. And obviously there's like 50 million different styles that are in there for Love, Death, and Robots. But I don't want this to be live action, dare I say. I would rather this be a CGI kind of adventure, cartoonish, and let the animation stop. So when you see like Wind Waker, right? Wind Waker? Wind Talker? What's the one with the weird goofy Wind Waker. When you see Wind Waker, like, I want that animation style. Like, if you put that story in anything that doesn't have that animation style, that's a real hard sell. So make it animated style.
And I'll raise you one higher. Why not both? What if when we do Link's Awakening and Wind Waker, it is animated?
I think if you switch mediums,
some seasons, some episodes are live action.
I think I think that's tougher to swallow.
I know it's an out there idea.
It is. It's tough to swallow. But I like how this is better than let's find a way to get Zelda into the same universe where Chris Pratt is Mario.
Yes. Much better.
Right? They can't do that. That's a dumb idea. So I embrace the Nintendo universe, but I do not want a interconnected universe of all Nintendo properties. Let what's connected be connected, and those are separate be separate.
That's a tangent conversation, but like, did you see the Twitter exchange that James Gunn had with a random fan recently?
No.
This guy posted just as a joke. You remember, I know we watched this, the How It Should Have Ended series on YouTube.
Yes.
There was one for Batman v Superman that ends with them in that diner, right? And, you know, they're just talking, and Batman interrupts Superman by going, "I'm Batman." And, like, that's how it ends or something
right,
like that.
Yeah.
And so this guy posted that scene. It was like, now with James Gunn in charge, I need this scene. I'll eat my shoe. He literally, I think he said the words, I'll eat my shoe if this is in the
right
the next wave of DC films. And James Gunn tweeted back to him and said, I need to know specifics about what exactly you need in the scene for you to eat your shoe. hang on, let me find this. James Gunn, see if I found the James Gunn tweet. I know we should be wrapping up soon, so let me just finish this thought with you guys, and then we can wrap the show. So the guy essentially posts this and says, I need this. James Gunn says, I need details. What exactly we need to be in the scene? So he replies back. He says, if Superman and Batman sit down across from each other in a diner and chat, I will eat one shoe. If they talk about how they would have solved each other's problems with ease, I will eat another shoe. If Batman interrupts Superman by saying, because I'm Batman, I will add another shoe. So James Gunn says, okay, good to know. Back to you in a few years.
What size shoe?
I want
Shaq. Not specified. This continues, though, because then this guy retweets another tweet of a scene in a comic book where Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman are just hanging out on a rooftop eating, like, fast food and, like, just chilling out and being friends. So he retweets that and says, I'm really tempting fate here. If this happens, I'll get a tattoo of a shoe with a bite taken out of it. To which James Gunn then responds, I'll be honest, I don't care what you get a tattoo of, but I do want to see someone eat a shoe. So maybe we might see that scene. Good on you, James Gunn. But anyway, back to you, CJ, for points allotment.
I say it is time for points allotment and general musings. I think we'll just get right to it. 2 points to Josh for helping us craft this connected and Nintendo cinematic universe. Although you were a little quiet, so you're not earning a ton on here. Brian, 10 points for the topic and your overall driving of this discussion. Woo-hoo! But -4 points for making me super angry about your stupid thoughts on the Super Smash Brothers crap that you're going to put in there. However, that does take us to the points of the winners, which Joshua Burns ending with 9 points, but Brian Thornton ending with 13, making Brian the winner this week.
Woohoo!
So please, now listener,
the love gods are with me today.
You gotta tell us about your thoughts on a Nintendo universe. How would you do it? And what do you expect from a Zelda series or movie? What do you expect from Zelda becoming on your television in a way that isn't connected to a gaming console? Please let us know. And any quotes, of course, that you throw into your daily life. Like, thank you so much for making us your walk around your neighborhood or your drive to work. Yeah, right? Yeah, all right, good. All right, well, we'll see you. We'll see you on the next episode.
Well, welcome to the club, because you are that kind of nerd.